Hi, this is Colleen, Grateful Recovering COSA, and I am sharing today about my experience with Step 9. And Step 9 is where we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And for me, the principle underlying Step 9 is vulnerability. And vulnerability has been really what brought me to my recovery to begin with, or my fear of vulnerability. It's also what kept me from beginning my recovery. It took me over a year to have my first COSA meeting. And it wasn't because I thought that my ex-husband, who is a recovering sex addict, was the one who had the problem, and I had no problems whatsoever, and he just needed to go get fixed, and I could go about with my life. I knew that I had problems. In fact, at that point, I thought it was the problem in the relationship. But what kept me from coming to COSA was my fear of vulnerability, of being in a group of people where I would have to share about my story, about my experiences, and be real and authentic. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that. It felt extremely uncomfortable, in fact, for me to open up like that. And so Step 9 presented me with a chance to continue to work on this fear of vulnerability that I've been working on since I came to my first COSA meeting. It's a fear of vulnerability that I worked on in asking someone to be my sponsor and then working with a sponsor. There's a heightened level of vulnerability there, of course, and accountability, working a step, sharing my steps at meetings, speaking at speaker meetings, and then this recording right here, knowing that what I'm saying right now is going to be heard by others and can be reheard over and over again because it's being recorded. So there's so much vulnerability throughout my recovery and so many opportunities to overcome it. And Step 9 was another chance for me to face that fear, to not let the fear of being vulnerable with others hold me back. I found in doing my Step 9, and really this was back to Step 8 as I was preparing to do my Step 9, and looking at what my barriers to amends were, that was one category that my sponsor had asked me to look at. So I had, let me back up just a bit. In preparing for Step 9, I created a spreadsheet, and the categories or the columns were who have I harmed, and I did put myself at the top of the list, and let's see, I had, including myself, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 people or entities that I had harmed. What I found throughout the course of my step work in preparing for Step 9 was that a lot of the people that I thought I owed amends to, or a good handful of them, it turns out the amends was actually owed to myself. So that was the first column, who have I harmed? Then the next column was, how have I harmed him or her or it? Because there were some entities or organizations that I had on my list. Then the third column was, how can I make amends or how can I make amends? Next is, how ready am I to make amends? And here I either put ready today, will be ready someday, or will be ready someday soon. I know that some others also have a hell no category. They may they may have different categories here in terms of willingness or readiness to make amends. I felt that I was at the point where I knew I would make amends to everyone on my list at some point. I felt hopeful in that regard and knew I could do that through my recovery. So my will be ready someday soon was as close as I got to the hell no category. And I'm finding with each amends I make and just as I move forward in my recovery that a number of these will be ready someday soon have become ready today. And in fact, I've made one of those. One of those is to my mom. I thought that would be further off than it really ended up being. That was a will be ready someday soon. But then in reflecting on it, I had realized that it was a harder one, and it was will be ready someday. And it turns out that I've already made that one, and I feel much closer to making some of the more difficult amends, such as to my ex-mother-in-law. I've thought about doing that one sooner rather than later. And I'm narrowing down my list of who I still have left to make amends to. I've moved on at this point to step 10, knowing that I will complete these amends and that I can move on in my step work even as I continue to work step 9. So the next category after how ready am I to make amends was barriers to amends. And this is where that fear of vulnerability comes in, where I found that oftentimes it was my fear of vulnerability in making the amends that held me back. Not so much that I was going to be rejected or that what I had to say was just so awful, I couldn't fess up to it, and the thought of doing that just made me sick. Made me sick was thinking about being vulnerable with these people, opening up and saying that, you know, I had done certain things wrong, and with a lot of these people, it's opening up to them about what my recovery program is about. And that's just vulnerable by its nature. And telling my immediate family, those are some of the harder amends, telling my immediate family that I've been emotionally unavailable to them is really hard for me to do. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. And I found that in making my amends to my brother and my mom, that it's just difficult to talk about feelings. I wasn't raised to talk about feelings, and I wasn't raised to be emotionally vulnerable. And so to make those amends to my family of origin have been particularly vulnerable, which means the greatest opportunity for growth. And I still have my dad left to do in there, and that's going to be the hardest in terms of the vulnerability. And then the last category is actions to overcome those barriers. So I wanted to go through that just to talk about the role that vulnerability played as one of my main barriers to amends. Humility is also one of the principles underlying step 9 for me. There's just that inherent level of humility involved in making amends. To saying I'm sorry and that I'm going to change my behavior. And not just to say that I'm sorry, but to give the detail about what it is I'm sorry for. So humility there and underlying all the steps. I found that my approach was to work with my sponsor. I can't imagine doing this without a sponsor because I didn't even know how to make these amends. So when it came to the category of how can I make amends, I deferred to my sponsor, I think on all of them. And that came down to scripting it out. The exact words that I would say in many instances, I looked to my sponsor for guidance on. I wasn't sure what to say. And I learned that less is more. So keeping it short and to the point, you know, say what I need to say. And of course, always make sure the focus stays on me and on my side of the street. My sponsor played a huge role in helping me figure out how to make amends. The amends to myself, of course, was a little different, and I asked her for examples because I wasn't even sure how to make amends to myself. And then in hearing her examples, I realized what was right for me in terms of my amends to myself, and that was to buy myself fresh flowers once a week, to always have fresh flowers in my home. I remember telling my ex-husband when we were together, oh, someday when we have more money, I want to always have a bouquet of fresh flowers in the house. And it seemed like that was extravagant to me, and that would happen someday in the future. You know, this is a dream when we had more money. And I love fresh flowers. And it just didn't occur to me that I was worth buying myself fresh flowers. So that has been one of my primary ways to make amends to myself. It's always have fresh flowers in the house. And if someone gives me the fresh flowers, that's great. I don't have to get them for myself. But if not, then I need to go out and buy myself a bouquet of flowers. And it always makes me feel happy to look at those flowers sitting on my kitchen table. I'm looking at my kitchen table right now as I'm recording this. feeling some guilt right now saying that because yesterday I just had to throw out the flowers because they were looking so icky, and I haven't yet made it to the store to replace them. So I'm imperfect in that, and this is a good reminder that I need to get to the store, and it's on my to-do list to get those flowers because this is an important part of my amends. But in all honesty, I need to tell you that I'm looking at my kitchen table right now, and there are no flowers because they've died. And I need to hold myself accountable to get those flowers. Another way for me to make amends to myself is to stop seeking out attention from men to make myself feel better. Through my recovery, I have come to an awareness regarding my need or apparent need for attention from men, and that I will seek out attention from men, compliments, external validation that I didn't feel like I was getting in my relationship with my ex-husband. But ultimately, that really comes down to an issue of self-worth. So I noticed a lot that this was coming up for me, where I was seeking out attention from men after my relationship with my husband ended, the need for attention didn't end. And in fact, it then became easier and more acceptable to seek out that attention because I was no longer married. But there are multiple ways that I had harmed myself. And one of the ways, in addition to what I've mentioned about seeking out attention from men, was in being too hard on myself, which is why I ended up having this list of amends in which it turned out that I didn't really owe amends to other people, that it was amends that I owed to myself. I was being too hard on myself and thinking I owed other people amends for every possible thing I had ever done, when really I might have just been using my voice or asserting boundaries. And I realized that I owed myself an amends for not recognizing that. And instead of being hard on myself and beating myself up and thinking that I was responsible for someone else's feelings or how they may have handled a situation. Another amends I made was to my deceased grandma. And my sponsor had suggested that I could either visit my grandma's burial site and read a letter to her that I would write with my amends, or I could volunteer at a nursing home and pay it forward. I decided to visit her burial site, and there was some confusion whether or not she even had a burial site. I found out that she had a burial site, but she wasn't actually buried there yet. That was a long story. I guess her ashes are still at my uncle's house, apparently, and she never got buried. She died in a little over 2 years ago. But I wrote a letter to her, and I sat in my backyard, and I feel a connection to my higher power when I'm in nature. And as I was reading a letter to her, I felt my higher power's presence. And that comes to me sometimes through a tingling sensation that I feel in my body. And I felt it in both of my arms, up and down my arms, that my grandma was with me. And not only did she forgive me and what I had made amends with for stopping to visit or call her after my second daughter was born, and I had, as a result of that, never gotten a chance to say goodbye to her before she died. I cut off communication with her, essentially. So when I read this letter outside in my backyard in nature, and I felt my higher power's presence, and I felt my grandma's presence there with me, not only was she forgiving me, but she also asked me for forgiveness. And it was a powerful experience, and I knew my grandma was with me. And then I went and I met with my sponsor and I talked about it. And I said, oh, well, do you know, I read the letter and I explained the experience. And I said, but, you know, I feel like I still need to go to the burial site. And I need to go there and read the letter to fulfill my step 9. And she said, why do you need to go see your grandma to make amends when she came to see you? And that was so poignant and powerful for me and brought tears to my eyes. And it also is an example of where I've struggled with my character defect of perfectionism in step 9, feeling that my amends have to be perfect, that I have to do it just right and just as it's planned. And if I don't, that somehow I have failed, and I have not done my step 9, and I'm a failure in recovery, and I go on and on and on, beat myself up, brings up lots of character defects for me, in addition to perfectionism, the self-loathing, beating up on myself. So I'm learning that through step 9, not only to be vulnerable, not only to be humble, but also to be gentle on myself and realize that I'm doing the best that I can. I'm making the amends. I'm putting the effort in. I'm asking my higher power for guidance before I go into an amends. I'm asking my sponsor for guidance before I go into an amends. And then I let go of the outcome. Now, I don't do this perfectly. But I'm working on it, and I'm getting better at being gentle on myself and on forgiving myself as I'm forgiving others and making amends as a result of coming to that place of forgiveness for others and for myself. So I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you for your time. And with that, I'll pass.